The Orb, Volume 2, Number 10. Closure. Hello, welcome to The Orb. My name is Reed Hart. For over a decade, I've been one of those people you see walking the street trying to say we need to change something. I consider myself politically engaged. Plato said, "The price of apathy towards public affairs is to be ruled by evil men." Why does our apathy open the door to abuse? Where are the altruistic, benevolent dictators that would lead us all to paradise? Simply put, there is no single paradise for all of us to be led to. Different people imagine different worlds. We are not governed by evil men. One man's evil deeds are another man's good works. Just over a year ago, I started doing The Orb by considering what my purpose was. I wanted to look at some of the forces that shape our lives, forces that take the form of voices at our shoulders telling us what to do. In that same episode, I suggested that doing is not what we are here for. We're here simply because we're here. Just be. Take it in. I did episodes discussing our judgments, that those judgments create our sense of who we are. Giving them up would be like dying. Yet everyone forms different judgments based on our personal experiences. There was an episode on labels, that we use labels to both identify others and to judge them. There was talk in an episode on forecasting that our judgments of future events is no better than monkeys throwing darts. Those that are the most certain are likely to be the most wrong. Recently, a friend referred me to a TED Talk by Catherine Schultz, author of the book Being Wrong. Essentially, the feeling of being wrong, feeling embarrassed, lousy, these are the feelings of being made aware that you are wrong. Just being wrong doesn't feel like anything in particular. If anything, it feels like being right. While in fact, you are walking on thin air, out past the cliff edge, like Wile E. Coyote. We all know that René Descartes most famously wrote, "I think, therefore I am." What fewer people know is that centuries earlier, St. Augustine wrote, "I err, therefore I am." Have I been wrong? I originally set out to do this episode on political engagement. The Tea Party are as engaged as Occupy Wall Street is. What they have in common is discontent. When the government is doing what you want it to do, you sit back and enjoy the results. When it is doing something you don't want, you stand up and fight back. What governs our engagement is just when things get so bad that we can no longer quietly endure. Television is likely the greatest distraction in the history of the human race. Who wants to parade around in the rain with a sign when you can stay warm and dry at home and watch American Idol? There are other distractions too. Consider debt. People are, in the vast majority, honest and honorable. When they borrow, they mean to pay it back. Now consider the words of President Snow from The Hunger Games.
"A little hope is effective. A lot of hope is dangerous."
Forces need to be kept in balance. A little debt is effective. It keeps people's noses to the grindstone and shoulders to the wheel. There is no time to become deeply engaged in politics. There are debts to be paid. Too much debt, and they lose hope of keeping their word and start to consider the alternatives. They pack up their tents and occupy Wall Street. They put on red patches and join the casserole protest in Montreal and beyond.
"Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the star boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
You think that guy has time to make signs and march in the park? He doesn't think he can afford the time to die. We would like to believe that our government understands us and our needs, that we are being served by those we select to serve us. Sadly, this is not required. Taking Washington, D.C. as an example, the out-of-touchness of the Beltway is such a cliché that Beltway denizens themselves love to invoke it to demonstrate their self-awareness. It just so happens that policymakers, pundits, and politicians live in an area where new sushi restaurants are opening all the time. For even the best-intentioned and most conscientious staffers and aides, this has a subconscious effect. Think of it this way. Two office buildings are operating side by side in Chicago's Loop in the middle of a brutally cold January day when the heat in both buildings gives out. The manager of one building has an on-site office, so he finds himself plunged into cold. The other building is managed remotely, from a warm office whose heat is functioning. If you had to bet, you'd guess that the manager experiencing the cold himself would have a bit more urgency in restoring the heat. The same holds for the economy. The people running things are not viscerally experiencing the depredations of this ghastly economic winter, and they lack what might be called the fierce urgency of now in getting the heat turned back on. The other problem is that our system is responsive only to voices at the top of the social pyramid. In a 2007 paper titled Inequality and Democratic Responsiveness in the United States, Princeton political scientist Martin Gillens analyzed 2,000 survey questions from 1981 to 2002, looking for the relationship between public opinion and policy outcomes. He found that when Americans with different income levels differ in their policy preferences, actual policy outcomes strongly reflect the preferences of the most affluent, but bear little relationship to the preferences of poor or middle-income Americans. There is only so much social distance a society can take. The social science literature shows that as social distance increases, trust declines, and predatory behavior increases. The basic mechanisms of representation erode, and the social fabric tears. An imbalance between rich and poor, Plutarch warned, is the oldest and most fatal ailments of all republics. So who is getting engaged? Certainly corporations are engaged. They believe their immortal beings depend on the policies being pressed by those in office, and act to steer those policies to their advantage. The media provide political coverage that is much more about the horse race than about the issues. Talk shows frame the conversation around what they think will happen and why it did or did not happen as they said. Policy is dull and requires people to think. Races are exciting and requires only that people cheer. Don't get me started on negative advertising. Truth is viewed as a trivial price to pay for freedom of expression. What is being expressed is basically some combination of my guy walks with angels and the other guy is the spawn of Satan, or even that the opponent is Satan. Being engaged is hard. Being engaged means being connected with the ideas behind the issues, not just being led like sheep behind someone that claims to understand. Leaders can be religious, economic, cultural, or political. They espouse a position based on gospel, economic theory, or political ideology. They may just have celebriety because they can sing a popular song and then say something remotely political, and there are hundreds of thousands falling into line on Twitter. That is not engagement. Although Bill Watterson retired from writing Calvin and Hobbes many years ago, I still read the strip every day. Recently I saw one in which Calvin is explaining his lack of engagement. When I grow up, I'm not going to read the newspaper, and I'm not going to follow the complex issues, and I'm not going to vote. That way I can complain that the government doesn't represent me. Then, when everything goes down the tubes, I can say the system doesn't work and justify my further lack of participation. Hobbes responds, an ingeniously self-fulfilling plan. Calvin closes with, it's a lot more fun to blame things than to fix them. We certainly do blame. Elections are often used to send a message to the power elite. Sadly, this message is open to interpretation. A message to change the process, to end partisanship, and get some things done, gets taken as a mandate to use the current process to entrench partisanship and advance the partisan agenda. Just steamroll ahead against any opposition. So, where am I? I really do believe that my judgments are ultimately no better than yours. I believe I could be wrong, but I want to believe that I am right. I want to be engaged.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more. And I won't be satisfied till there's nothing left that I haven't tried. For some people it's an easy choice, but for me there's a devil and an angel's voice. Well, I don't know what I am looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
And all your faces.
I've got friends who are married and their lives seem complete, and here I am still stumbling down a darkened street. A darkened street. And I act like a child and I'm insecure and I'm filled with doubt and I'm immature. Sometimes it creeps up on me and before I'm lost at sea.
Bertolt Brecht said, "The worst illiterate is the political illiterate. He hears nothing, sees nothing, takes no part in political life. He doesn't seem to know that the cost of living, the price of beans, of flour, of rent, of medicines, all depend on political decisions. He even prides himself on his political ignorance, sticks out his chest and says he hates politics. He doesn't know, the imbecile, that from his political non-participation comes the prostitute, the abandoned child, the robber, and worst of all, corrupt officials, the lackeys of exploitative multinational corporations. Political engagement comes from seeing things you consider an injustice. It comes from seeing things as less than they could be, sufficiently less that you feel you can help make them better. Sometimes it is an injustice to someone that really means nothing to you, but when you allow the authorities to come for that group, you must know by now that they may eventually come for you." Desmond Tutu said, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. It really doesn't matter what you think is wrong. There's always something. Like history and the weather, the struggle will never end. It is that struggle that defines our worth to the world we find ourselves in. Some like to engage by sitting quietly and reaching out with love. Some like to engage with signs and shouting. I've titled this episode Closure because it is the end of the orb. The orb has failed to generate the kind of feedback I had hoped for. I am grateful to you for listening, and particularly so to the few that joined and donated. Now I'm struggling with what form of engagement I'm going to pursue. I feel full of hope and love. I feel full of judgment and passion. There is injustice out there. Inaction is not an option. What matters is what you do about it. I have found a protest sign that truly speaks to me. It contains judgment, but I can't help it. It's time I found how I will engage with the world. The sign says, I'm trying to fix what's wrong. Why aren't you? The Orb has been a listener-supported presentation of Cornobile Productions. We sincerely hope that you will return to the archives at orbcast.ca and consider the ideas presented. Strive not to be a success, but rather to be of value. I'm Reed Hart.